Yes. Anything else?
And maybe some links to, like, the Department of Communities, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Partnerships, have links to there because they can tell you about communities that are in the MCMC. And on the police website, when they're wanting to recruit police for Indigenous communities, maybe they can have a bit of information with links maybe to those places.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Because I think people these days are more active in going to the computer for information.
Of course. We all tend these days. It's even become a verb, hasn't it, to Google. Yeah. We tend to use the internet those ways these days. What about when police get on the community? Is there anything done for the, say, the spouses, the wives, to bring them into the community in any way, or the children?
Yeah, well, that
must be a bit daunting, I imagine, for middle and kids.
Like, there was a police sergeant on Murrumbinda that I never ever got to see his wife. I don't know what she looks like. Other people have in the area that she was interested in. I think she did some work for the Wadjuk High School. She started a program there, and they knew her. But all the time she was there, I never ever had an opportunity to meet her or even see her.
Mm.
So sometimes it's not just their fault, it's our fault too. Going out of our way to...
Yes.
Because we get busy in our work.
Of course, of course. But it's easy not to think of these things like an invitation for a morning tea to come down and meet us.
Mm. We ought to be more mindful of that in the communities.
Yes, yes. I know my sister was married to a policeman and went all around Queensland serving in all different, not Indigenous communities, but rural communities, and she always sang and played the piano, so that was always her entree. She joined the local drama group or whatever, you know. I imagine the spouses have to find something like that as their way into the community to become accepted.
They do find employment. They go and work in areas like some, go and teach and things like that.
Can I just say, there's often no option for that for spouses to do. And in terms of the preparation, and I'll say this about the officers as well, and I've said it before, is that with preparation, A, there's nothing for spouses or children.
Do you mean no preparation for the spouses or children?
No, there's nothing like that. And when you get there, same with the officers, there's no... I think Andrew was saying before that sometimes these young fellas get around gobsmacked for the first month. You can do all the cultural awareness training that you want, but there's the social issues that you've got to look at. And we get to see, because of the way police stations and remote communities are set up, wives and children get to see a lot more of what actually goes on than what happens in urban areas. My kids grew up 10 feet from a watch house, talking to prisoners and that all the time, which is fine. Excuse me, but sometimes you get to see probably the not so good side of things, you know, when people are coming to your houses and the injuries and things like that. I'm a little bit unique because I'm a nurse, so I've seen a lot of injuries and death. A lot of wives don't get that opportunity, and in terms of the police, they don't get the opportunity to be prepared for that either. And I think that brings us back to, we're talking before about support for police and what communities can do. I think a lot of the onus comes back to the QPS in terms of supporting that, because the current system, especially if you're talking about remote locations, isn't adequate in terms of support for debriefing, for emotional problems they may have, you know, post-trauma. I can relate a lot of anecdotal stories about officers that have had great difficulty dealing with, for example, child rape. Or quite a traumatic death. I know one officer did contact a HSO and she said that you're not the only person with problems, so she didn't get that follow-up. And in a remote community, I don't think that... I think they need other options, you know. Often officers don't go to the HSO or a peer support officer because there's still that overarching police culture, I guess, where you should be able to deal with it. You're a copper. So there needs to be other avenues there for them to be able to access. And that comes back to building that community relationship. I think Leon said this morning that officer went to Yarrabah, great ideas to start with, saw nothing in the end, and I think they get burnt out and a lot of stress is involved. And then the community loses heart and that respect and that trust is abolished, and then the next one has to come in and try and rebuild it.
Rebuild
so those
it,
community
yes.
relationships are fractured along the way.
So we do know that the police service provides psychological counselling and all these sorts of things, but how readily is that available to people on the remote communities?
Yeah, for far northern, we have Tim White's our HSO, and he's flown up quite regularly. If we get the Cape Inspector tells us, as you know, there's been a significant incident, or there's been an issue which has occurred, which may affect the maybe it could be the detectives or uniformed police. We'll fly up the HSO to the location, and he'll do the counselling there.
Mm-hmm.